Five, four, three, two, one, fire.
You're listening to StMichaelsPod.com. We have taken over control of your iPod or other MP3 listening device. Resistance is futile at this point. God's message will not self-destruct, whether you choose to accept his mission or not. At this time, we recommend that you relax, let go, and let God.
Good morning, gentlemen, or good afternoon, I guess. My name is Pat Foley. I'm this year's president of the Catholic Men's Luncheon Club. Would love to welcome you all and thank you all for coming, and hope you'll go back to your various places of work and worship and share with everybody that the work we're doing here and try and bring some more men. We had probably close to 100 couple weeks ago when we had the Catholic Man of the Year, and we'd like to get our numbers boosted up to that level every month, so come back next month and bring a friend. Today's speaker is going to kind of share with us his witness on the promotion of his Catholic faith through the media. And, you know, thinking about this announcement and this introduction this morning, I went out to Mike's website, and back in the 80s, 20-some years ago, I was a youth at Ohio State University, and one of the favorite things that me and my roommates like to do is go to Ruby Tuesdays and listen to a band called Oswald and the Herringbones. And Mike was a member of that band and sang songs like Dishwasher Blues, I Love You Baby, What's the Matter with You, and one of my favorites called The Barberettes. And I clicked on The Barberettes and listened to the song and was transported, and really a great witness to the power of the media today. The internet took me back to the 80s. It was just a fantastic experience, and my six-year-old son was standing there dancing to The Barberettes with Mike Barone on the saxophone. And I give you now Mike Barone on the microphone.
Thank you. Appreciate being here. I wanted to start with a couple things real quickly if I could. Now, I'm going to kind of zip through some stuff kind of fast. If you have questions about it afterwards, you can do the Q&A. It's a lot to cover, but it's enjoyable stuff, I hope, anyway. I was praying that I would be at least entertaining a little bit to you. If you ever noticed, like at an Alcoholics Anonymous type meeting or something like that, they usually get up and they say, hi, I'm an alcoholic, or whatever, I'm so-and-so, and then everybody says, hi, so-and-so. I would like to start off with something like, hi, I'm Michael, and I'm a Christaholic. And then you all say, hi, Michael. I can't get enough of Jesus Christ. I wasn't always that way, but hopefully I am that way now, and hopefully you are as well. So we are Christaholics or Catholics, however you want to look at it. I want to talk today about guilt by association, something everybody always hears about. Guilt by association, if you roll with the dogs, you're going to come up with the fleas kind of thing. Today we're going to convert that and change that to grace by association. Most of what people know about me, I think, at least in this area, is my affiliation with EWTN. And I'm going to name drop for just a second with some of the wonderful people I've had a chance to work with. I was Mother Angelica's television producer of her show, Mother Angelica Live, for many years. I was down at the network for 7 years in Birmingham. I worked with Bishop David Foley. I worked with Jeff Cavins, who did Life on the Rock, we created together. Dr. Scott Hahn, Father Benedict Groeschel, Father Harold Cohen, Jeanette Benkovic, Ralph Martin, Ann Shields, Father Mitch Pacwa, Father Dubay, Father Apostoli, Father Stan Fortuna, Father Matthew Habiger from Human Life International, Father Pavone from Priest for Life, Molly Kelly, Donna the Irish singer, Father Dale Fuschek from Life Team, Alice von Hildebrand, Nellie Gray, Father Jacques Daly, and even Pope John Paul II. Now, it's not to say that I'm anything really special. I just had the opportunity to work with them. The reason why I want to mention that is because my formation basically took place working with these great people. And so when you hear the things that I'm talking about in my youth ministry teaching or anything like that, or my work with media, a lot of it comes from these great minds that I've had a chance to work with, and they're not my own ideas. So I stand on the shoulders of giants. First off, I'm a Columbus native. My parents brought us up at Our Lady of Victory Parish in Grandview, and my parents were good Catholic parents, Rose and Frank Barone. If you know them, they're still with us, and they're happy grandparents of my six children. They took us to CCD classes because my mother had a situation with the Catholic schools where the nuns were mad at her for wearing short sleeve shirts or something. So she said her kids would never go to Catholic schools because of that. So there was sort of a friendly rivalry situation where, in the long run, she can't figure out how her son ended up the way he is now because I'm so godly based and so Catholic Church based. I had Father Favret, if you remember him from Our Lady of Victory, and Father Barrent. They were my priests way back, and they, when I was an altar boy, those were the people that kind of helped form me back in the time. And to speak a little bit about media, too, because I want to kind of cover a couple things, media, youth ministry, as we go. The media at the time, when I was in CCD and such way back, was stuff like Jesus Christ Superstar and Godspell. I think our sixth grade CCD class went to see the Broadway play, Jesus Christ Superstar. So my theology from being a sixth grader was, gee, Judas got a raw deal, and Mary and Jesus, Mary Magdalene and Jesus, were a little closer than we had been led to believe, you know? It's a heresy that still is out there now with things like the Da Vinci Code and such. Not that the people that were teaching were bad catechists or whatever, they were well-intentioned. It's just an odd time in the church, so no blame is being thrown or anything. But my formation at the time, after second grade on, was kind of out there. Just to say a little bit. The first I heard of something that was kind of more on the lines of what we believe, my grandmother told me about Our Lady's messages at Fatima, and I'd never heard that, and like, I was 8 years old, and she's telling me about this stuff at Fatima, and I was like really blown away by this. Wow, you know, the Mother of God comes and talks to us and gives us these messages. But it also kind of terrified me because it had to deal with all these kind of scary things that I couldn't quite process. So moving ahead a little bit, get up to a high school situation. Those of you that know Father Kevin Lutz, he was a seminarian at the time, and he was coming and teaching the CCD classes along with the other seminarians. And our main reason for living at the time as preteens was to see if we could get the seminarians to cuss. If the seminarians would cuss, then we knew we did our job that week at CCD. So we would just run them through the ringer. And even if we were good Catholic kids and knew our faith, we still played dumb and asked all these really crazy questions and such. Father Kevin, at the time, he was just one of the people that had a great response. He was very human with us, had a great sense of humor, and kind of rolled with the punches. So he never snapped like some of the other guys did. So he and I became good friends, and he is why I'm still Catholic. So I want to give that to him today. And I wanted to say this, for any priests that hear this later when it's rebroadcast and such, I want to thank all the priests for accepting their vocation, for answering their vocation with a yes. I want to ask all of you that are priests out there, make available reconciliation to teens at all times, even if it's an extra cost to you, even if you feel odd about it or something. Every time you see a teenager, tell them that you're available for reconciliation sometime while you're seeing them at all times. Because teens are really hungry for the truth, they're really hungry for reconciliation, but they have a real hard time articulating that. So as a former youth minister of 16 years and a former teenager myself, always tell the teens that you will listen to their confession at any time, obviously when you can. Please be there for them. I'm a father now. I've got six children, and I noticed this, that the neglected children, the one that I neglect the most out of the six that gets the least amount of attention, is usually the one with the most trouble, right? So think of the teens sometimes as spiritually neglected. I'm not saying that they need all kinds of extra things, but particularly when it comes to spiritual things like Mass and reconciliation, make those available to them and in spades. Do it as best you can. College days for me, you heard Pat talk a little bit about the band. I was down in Athens for a while. Father Marty Holler down there in the Newman Center. Again, wonderful stuff, good people. St. Blaise, whose feast day we celebrate tomorrow, figures greatly in my story. My band, as Pat said, is Oswald and the Herringbones, or was Oswald and the Herringbones. If you know the story of St. Blaise, he came across a young man who was choking on a fishbone, and he prayed over this child, and this kid coughed up the fishbone and then was able to live, and there's the whole story that goes with it. That's why we bless the throats, Oswald and the Herringbones. So part of my life growing up in the college days was to sort of surround myself with important people and important situations, and to feel important about myself because I had a bad self-image with God, I think, you know? So God came along and basically dislodged this herringbone from my throat. Not to say that my band was a bad band or anything like that. We were good guys and good people, and we did a lot of things. We had in our mind to do Live Aid and Band Aid and be like Bono and U2 and help people in Africa that were starving and such. But the idea was that we kind of glorified ourselves instead of God. We kept thinking, you know, wow, you know, as long as we get more and more attention, then we can give money to the poor people. Well, God kind of showed me at one point, you know, if you give this money to the poor, even if you saved a bunch of people physically, who do they have to thank for it? You know, Mike Barone and his wonderful band, not God, you know. So that's not the way things are supposed to be. So he dislodged this fishbone, basically, that was in my throat. We had some really good things happen in 1985. Again, Father Lutz was part of our lives and came and prayed with us before the 1985 Columbus Battle of the Bands. And we won this big $100,000 Battle of the Bands here in Columbus. The media at the time was The Last Temptation of Christ, if you remember that. And I remember one of the guys in my band turned to me and said he'd gone and seen the movie. And he came to me and said, you know, so what's the story about Jesus being married? And again, it was one of those things in my life where I realized the media had taken someone that was a friend of mine that wasn't Catholic, that had suddenly put ideas in their head that weren't true about the Catholic faith. And realizing how powerful we were just as a small band in the Columbus, Ohio area, I realized it was important to pay attention to what you're saying and how you're saying it, so that as you, as people like you and as people emulate you and want to be around you and such, they get a good message instead of a bad one. Obviously, I had to talk with my friend there about the situation with The Last Temptation of Christ and this idea that Jesus was definitely not married to Mary Magdalene. But again, kind of left over from Jesus Christ Superstar senses and such like this. From the winning of the Battle of the Bands here, we were able to make a video that got on MTV. We won the MTV Basement Tapes in 1986, and that kind of put us into a whirlwind of touring and such. So now we're in front of all sorts of college-age teenagers and young adults, and we're playing our music and we're doing all these things. And the world was wonderful. Everything worldly was great about that. But I found that my Catholic life and my band life were kind of at odds with each other, you know. The ideas that go along with being in a rock band and being on tour and doing those kinds of things were not really lining up very well with Catholicism. And again, it was my choice, I realized. It's not that I put this on anybody else. But God didn't really want me there, so I was in a crisis, I could tell. I had everything that the world could give you. I had the fame and the fortune kind of situation going on. We were well on our way to being nationally known when all of a sudden I felt empty. And I took a little trip to St. Christopher's over in Grandview, and Father Mike Rice was there one night. I was just praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and I was saying to God, you know what? The last time I heard about a miracle, Lord, was when my grandmother told me about Fatima, you know, and here we are, that was 1917, and here we are, it was 1987, I think, at the time. You know, come on, Lord, get with it. Why don't you, you know, have another apparition or whatever, and we can get some video cameras out. I thought I could tell God everything. I thought, I'll just be your PR guy, God, and I'll tell you how to get the world back, you know. Crazy thinking, because I was in a crazy situation. But as I was praying there, people started coming in around me, and they were all sitting down, so I felt kind of odd about leaving, and it became an evening mass. Father Mike Rice came out, and he gave the homily on, or the readings and the homily were on the prodigal son. And I was 27 years old. I sat in the back of that little chapel there, and I was crying like a baby. I was just sobbing, couldn't get a hold of myself, because it was such a pointed thing to me that God was talking to me. He was saying, you know, you're that guy. You know, you've gone out, you've exchanged all these things, the gifts I've given you, your talents, your abilities and everything. You've traded it all away for what? Like, you know, the corn husks that the pigs would eat, you know? Come back. And it blew me away. That night, I also met a guy there who told me about the charismatic renewal. And it's kind of interesting. Father Rice, when I've spoken to him in the past about the homily, he doesn't really remember anything special about it. He's like, you know, it's just another homily to him. He doesn't remember seeing a guy in the back, like, weeping like a baby. But, you know, that's just to go and show you how God can use his graces without us necessarily noticing it. So I went to this charismatic renewal situation. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I went to a Cum Christo. I was part of the group up in St. Paul's in Westerville. So I kind of did the whole gamut at that point. Then I had an opportunity to go to Medjugorje in Yugoslavia, the former Yugoslavia. And again, I, as a Catholic man now, would say that I would defer to the church on the final say of whether those apparitions are real or not. That will never change my faith. If they're ever declared that they weren't real for whatever reason, that's fine. What happened to me there dealt with Eucharist and dealt with reconciliation. So those things the church will always be okay with. So again, Mary, the mother of Jesus, called somebody, you know. And then when I got there with all this Marian stuff, it was all Jesus, all Eucharist, all reconciliation, all the sacraments, all the church. So hopefully the church will someday say that those are real apparitions, but even if they aren't, good comes from it. So this crossroad in my life, I was over there, I realized I had to leave the band. I left my guitar on top of one of the mountains over there, and I said to God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Dangerous thing to do for any of you that have ever done that. If you ever tell God, I'll do whatever you want me to do, he'll take you up on it. So I came back to Ohio. I had bookings and things for the band for 6 months, and all of a sudden I was out of the band. I just had, and the guys thought, what happened to Mike? You know, he's this crazy dude, and then all of a sudden he falls in love with Jesus. So I started praying, And as charismatics do, we believe in these words of knowledge kind of thing. I kept getting this Birmingham. Like, what's in Birmingham? You know, in Birmingham, Alabama. And somebody told me, well, this is where this Mother Angelica is. She's this little old nun. She spends 5 hours a day in prayer, and she started this TV network. So I'm thinking, okay, whatever. You know, I've got some sort of background in media. Maybe that's where I should go. So I packed everything I had up in Chevy Citation, and I moved down to Birmingham to work for Mother Angelica. The interesting thing is I was 28 years old at that point, and I assumed since I was 28 and I was single and I was Catholic and I was really coming back into the faith, obviously I was supposed to be a priest, right, or a brother. You know, that's the way it's supposed to be. When I got there, it was a little bit different than that. I think if Mother Angelica had known who and what it was that was gracing her presence, I don't think she would have been as receptive as she was. She was only there for about 2 days when I first came to Birmingham. So she was like, here's another Catholic guy that wants to help out. Sure, come on in. And then she left for 3 months to go to Rome to start WEWN, which is the sister radio station, the shortwave station, which now we carry as part of our radio station here. And while she was gone, I kind of entrenched myself with all the people there and started working with them and doing the different things and volunteer work and such. And by the time she got back, I was so deeply entrenched, I don't think she could have, like, jackhammered me out of the place. But we had a nice little conversation in her office when she came back from Rome. And she said, well, you know, tell me about yourself. Who are you? And, you know, I was just so in love with Jesus. I didn't care. I'd already made this proclamation to God, whatever you want, I'll do, you know. And I said, well, I'm not really sure, Mother. Maybe I'm supposed to be a priest, or maybe I'm just supposed to, like, get on a motorcycle and ride it, and every time it runs out of gas, just stop there and preach. You know, and she was just like, oh my gosh, you know, who is this guy in my office? They tell me, I don't know if this is true, but they tell me she had a button installed under her desk for when crazy people were there, and she'd hit the button and it would play Somewhere Over the Rainbow over the PA system, and then other people would come and rescue her, like, you know, okay, you know, you have to leave now, Mother's got stuff to do or whatever. I don't know if that's true, but I don't remember if I heard Somewhere Over the Rainbow while I was talking to her, but, you know, I probably should have. Anyway, over the next 7 years while I was there, that's when I had the opportunity to work with all these great minds in the Catholic Church. And really, my formation came from that. I refer to it like going to seminary. God made it pretty clear to me early on that I tried the idea of the priesthood to see if I should answer that vocation. And I was really praying about it for about a year and working hard toward it. And then God just kind of showed me gently that wasn't the way he wanted me to go. Obviously now with my 6 children and my wonderful wife, Dana, that makes sense. Hopefully we're raising good kids for the kingdom. But I wasn't sure at the time. So when I was down there, I had a chance to work with Bishop Foley on Pillars of Faith. That's the show on the catechism. So when the new catechism came out, I was fortunate enough to go over to Vienna and actually meet with Cardinal Schönborn, the guy that edited the whole thing and put it together. And I was just there as part of a crew that was shooting with him and talking about the new catechism. Just something aside, it was the first catechism again in 400 years. So we ought to kind of like wake up and go, wow, what a gift to the church we had. I mean, it wasn't just some sort of like book that they threw out there. So we came back and we started a show, a weekly show, with the bishop, a prince of the church, who was explaining the catechism paragraph by paragraph. We went through the catechism 4 times in about 4 years. So I had a lot of background in teaching and what the new catechism says. As a producer of the show, I was constantly working with him and answering questions and fielding questions and such for it. I met a great brother down there. Maybe some of you know him, Brother Charles Todell, who was with the Salesians up here in Columbus for many years. Great man. He started a prayer group down there. I was part of that prayer group with Dave Vacherus, and maybe you've heard of John Martinoni. He was also in the prayer group. He's a great catechist in the church. I'm one of the few people that can actually say, I'm not a saint, but I played one on TV. I was fortunate enough to be St. Francis of Assisi, and a lot of people will stop me in grocery stores and such, because they still air it every day, every week on EWTN. They'll air these things during the week of St. Francis's feast day and such, and people go, that looks like that Mike Barone guy. It's like, yeah, that was me. I was very lucky to just be able to play him, and a lot of prayer and stuff went into that. But he's one of the saints that I just really, really love. Toward the end of my time in EWTN, I'd met my wife, Dana, again. We'd been married. We'd started having children. And life was getting a little bit strange. I had an odd dream where I was walking around with a bunch of kids and teenagers, and we were walking like a place like COSI, the Center of Science and Industry, and there were these little places we were walking up to with windows, and behind the windows were monstrances and ciborium, and some of them were like bright and shiny and had like the Eucharist in them, and some of them were like cracked, like the glass was cracked, and they had like little broken pieces of the Eucharist and such. And I just thought it was a real strange dream, and I couldn't quite figure out what it was. Yeah, it just was an odd thing. I had a friend over at the network that would kind of come and go and visit every now and then, and would talk with Mother Angelica about some of her situations like that. And I ran this dream by her, and I kind of said, what do you think? Does that sound like something God's talking about? And she said, it definitely sounds like you're supposed to be working with teenagers or young adults or children or whatever, and working with the Eucharist somehow, bringing back, you know, the sixth chapter of John and talking about the true presence in the Eucharist and polishing up those monstrances and fixing the ones that are broken and getting people in front of the Blessed Sacrament. So that was kind of part of the move, the whole thing. I got a call from a friend from Newark, Ohio. So here was the big question. Is it Newark, Ohio, or is it Newark, as in New Ark of the Covenant? I found over the years, I'm thinking, why would God call me from, literally I'd push a button and 33 million homes in America would see something different on the network. I was definitely doing some mass media type work, to little old Newark, Ohio, you know, to be a DRE at Newark. Well, it was turned out to be New Ark of the Covenant. Mary was very much there and very present, and our youth ministry there flourished. Father Dean Mathewson, a wonderful quintessential priest, gave us the green light to do all sorts of wonderful things with the teens. We were able to create a program called the Dead Theologian Society, which is a weekly study of the lives and writings of the saints. While I was there, I was able to be the president of that organization for 7 years, and we went from having one chapter in Newark, Ohio, and through our connections at EWTN, we were able to get up to 158 chapters all over the country and some in Europe. After I left the organization, later on, it's still continued, it's still out there, and it's still a weekly study. So God bless it, and if you know anybody that's a teenager that wants to know more about the saints or needs a good youth ministry program, it's a wonderful one, DTS. Check it out on the web, on the internet, you'll find it for sure. He also, God gave us a chance to do something called roller chair ball. Kind of sounds odd, but we'd play on office chairs with the teens and do some gaming. But as part of roller chair ball, you had to do 15 minutes of Eucharistic adoration. In the year 2000, the parish St. Francis de Sales in Newark did 2,000 hours of Eucharistic adoration as a present to Christ. More than half of that 2,000 hours was teenagers doing it. So, and that came from working with roller chair ball and them having an understanding of what was going on, who was in the Eucharist, and what Eucharistic adoration was all about. And then they embraced it even beyond roller chair ball and started doing that on their own. So just all kinds of wonderful things, and it's all because God allowed us to do it, and through priests like Father Dean who allowed that kind of thing to happen. I would just say, when it comes to things like working with teenagers or whatever, don't be afraid of the hard truths in the Catholic Church, okay? Teens are really looking for truth, all right? Some people want to kind of water things down or wash it up so that they don't offend teenagers or whatever, but go ahead and just give them the wholeness and fullness of the truth. Just try to remember to teach why the Church teaches what the Church teaches. Show the value of what the Church teaches, and teens will eat it up. The other side of that, if you're looking into youth ministry at all, is just admit the cost. Nancy Reagan had that thing about just say no, right? Just say no means you're a geek. Just say no means you're dumb. Just say no means other people are going to look at you and ostracize you. You have to say, yes, just say no. That's important. But why do we just say no, okay? And I understand, as your youth minister or your father or your friend or whatever, that that costs you something, that now socially you're going to be an outcast. But think of Jesus and think of the apostles and think of how they were, you know, and admit the cost. And then a teenager will be able to negotiate that turn with you, okay? If you don't admit the cost, then they think, well, you're out of touch. But if you say, I realize this is going to cost you, I realize it's going to make you stand out among other people, but do it anyway, and here's why the Church teaches what the Church teaches, here's the benefit to you. Teens will eat it up. They're dying for the truth, so they're not that hard to deal with. One quick catechesis thing I'll give you real quick. If you want to try to figure out something to teach a teen, take this home. If you don't take anything else home with you, take this home. Everybody here, anybody named Matthew? Matt, Matthew? Any Matts or Matthew? Okay, there you go. In most classes, most teens, you can say, do you know a guy named Matthew? Yeah, okay. In Ohio, when do you get your license to drive? When you're 16, okay? What do you need to drive? You need the keys to the car, okay? That is your catechesis for the day on where we get the Pope, how to get teens to remember where we get the Pope. When Matthew was 16, he got the keys. Go to Matthew, the 16th, in the 16th chapter of Matthew in the Gospel of Matthew, and you see the whole thing on where Jesus gives the keys of the kingdom to Peter and where we get the Pope from. So when the teens are saying, where do we get the Pope? Or their friends are asking them, you Catholics, where do you get this Pope from? It's in the Gospels, guys. Here it is. Where? Matthew, that guy, he's 16, he gets the keys to drive the car. Matthew 16, and they can find it. It's that easy. You just have to know some of these tricks of the trade. So think of that. Think of God's varsity team. You could be on the Super Bowl team, right? You can have the ring from being on the team in the Super Bowl, but if you stayed on the bench the whole time, how good are you to the team? You still have the ring, okay? So you're in heaven, quote unquote, right? But what do you have to talk about in the locker room afterwards? Wouldn't you rather be God's most valuable players? You know, wouldn't you rather be on the varsity team? And that's part of what you want to appeal to with teenagers, especially the sports-minded ones, is, yeah, you know, you can kind of drag your feet and lag along or whatever and get in, but that's not what you want to be doing, you know? You want to be giving God your very best. You want to be a most valuable player for God. So those are the kind of things to appeal to with teams. Teens. Life Teen is another organization that's a great thing. Father Dale Fuschek I worked with. It's come to the Columbus, Ohio area diocese. We were the first ones to do it out in Newark, and then it kind of spread a little bit. Good organization. There have been times when people have done things in the name of Life Teen that weren't so good, and then it got some bad press. But Life Teen itself is very good, very holy, a very orthodox program. So embrace it if you can and help people with that. God moves us again to Wisconsin at this point. Bishop Burke, who's now Archbishop Burke, down in St. Louis, Missouri, invited us to come up there and start DTS in the Wisconsin area. And we were up there for a year and a half doing wonderful things up there. Roller chair ball branched out to four different states and was in Wisconsin, Missouri, Ohio, and Arizona. We were developing a teen radio show, which got me back toward media, which kind of heads me into the next direction of where I'm going. We came back to Ohio. All in good timing, God's timing. God brought me back, and I kept thinking, what am I supposed to be doing here back in Ohio? Catholic radio was kind of on the horizon, and I was doing some things with St. Gabriel Radio, but there was no station, and they couldn't seem to get a station. So Father Pendolfi from over at St. Michael's rescued me and saved my life by hiring me for being his youth minister for a year. I'm very thankful again to Father Pendolfi. He was wonderful. He allowed me to do some more of this teen radio stuff, and I started podcasting, again, using the media. That's on the web now, on the internet. You can go on and you can click on an MP3 file and listen to a file of a show. So we were doing radio-type shows with teenagers from the youth ministry thing on the computer, and then all the teens are into iPods now. You've seen the little iPod thing they listen to. That's how they would download those weekly and then be able to hear the different messages that we were giving them. So again, hats off to Father Pendolfi. Thanks to him for that. I wanted to kind of finish with one last part of this. We had Father Subler here a couple months back, talking about the military. And I'm a big fan of the church militant. You know, we're all part of the church militant here. We're supposed to be fighting the good fight. We can't fight a war without a strategy, right? God's plan, God's time, is the sacraments. That's the strategy, okay? He's definitely using that, all right? He'll let us know the rest, when's and where's and how's, but you have to have that strategy. You have to have the sacraments in place, especially for these teens. Grace and good catechesis is the ammunition. You have to have grace, okay? We go back to that association through grace. That's why the Dead Theologian Society works, because we associate with the lives and writings of the saints. So the teens see and hear their stories and want to emulate them and be like them. So you have to have that. For food for the army, you've got the Eucharist, obviously. We have to get people to Mass, and they have to be receiving the Eucharist so they can be alive in Christ. Apart from him, we can do nothing. The water is the Holy Spirit. We ask the blessing of the Holy Spirit on us and on our battles. And then the last thing that's the most important thing, not the most important thing, but one of the very most important things in any battle with any army, is clear lines of communication, right? We have to have God's word. We have to have the Mass, where we hear the readings from the Bible, from Holy Scripture. We have to have priests that give homilies and talk about what those scriptures mean and explain them when they need to be explained and teach what the church is teaching. Then we have to have prayer that draws down the grace so that we have the ability and the strength to use these weapons. Radio, and Catholic radio particularly, is a method of delivery for the army that we have that's fighting this battle, okay? Now we're into St. Gabriel Radio. My latest thing that I'm doing that God has me doing is working for St. Gabriel Radio, starting their second sister station, which is WFOT-FM up in the Mansfield-Lexington area. We will cover part of the northern part of the Columbus Diocese and a lot of the lower part of the Toledo Diocese. If you look at the army and you look at a battle and the needs of those men and women that are fighting, you see those supplies that they have. You see the plan, you see the strategy, you see the food, you see the different things that have to get in there. If they don't have a clear line of communication, everything goes kind of haywire. The wonderful thing about Catholic radio is that people can kind of listen in. People can eavesdrop on the Catholic faith. Non-Catholics can kind of listen in the car or while they're washing the dishes and hear, oh, this is what the Catholic Church teaches. This is why the Catholic Church teaches it. This is the goodness that's inside that particular teaching. This is why it's good for you. This is the grace you can gain from it. it's so clear to people like me and people that are working for St. Gabriel Radio that it's so necessary right now in our time. The media's in your face about everything, billboards, magazines, television. It's all constantly bombarding you. I think there's 3,000 or 4,000 messages you get a day or whatever. It's so important that we, you, me, all of us, wake up as the militant church, the church militant, and fight the good fight. Help supply the people that are working to build the kingdom and advance the front lines. Teenagers, because again, my youth ministry background, they listen to the radio. They listen to stuff on the internet. They don't do that much book reading on stuff like that. They don't do that much watching of holy shows and things like that on television, movies and such. It's really more along the lines of what they hear on the radio. So the music they're hearing, garbage in, garbage out. The message they're hearing, garbage in, garbage out. You know, and this station and St. Gabriel Radio and all the Catholic stations that are out there are bringing good. They're bringing the truth. We're WFOT for we're full of truth. Jesus said, I am the truth, right? So we want to be full of Jesus. And when they turn that dial on and they hear something and they bring it into themselves and they're imbued by it, we want it to be wholeness and truth, not the morning zoo and the goofy stuff that's going on all these other stations with the morals and crazy things of the world. So I'll end up here and just ask you, please be in prayer for us as we fight the good fight, the church militant. Be part of it. Pick up the parts of the battle that you can. Some go to the missions by giving, and some give to the missions by going, you know. If you can't be a part of it immediately or something, please help financially. We have so many things to do with our capital campaigns to reach more and more people. And remember that the Word of God doesn't return to Him in vain, right? And even as you're sitting right here in this room, there are radio waves going through you. You're being basked by these different waves, and those waves have messages on them. The message from 1270 AM and from WFOT 89.5 FM is going to be a good message, and that's bombarding people, whether or not their ears are open, whether or not they're listening. The Word of God is coming down, okay, around us, and it won't return to Him in vain, so be a part of that, and please help where you can financially and spiritually. Pray for us. Pray for me. And pray for the organization and pray for the media as we fight the good fight. And I'm supposed to leave it open for question and answer now, so. Yes. Okay, just for the sake of the radio audience, I'll repeat the question. He wants to know a little bit about the affiliation between St. Gabriel Radio and EWTN and the possibilities of reaching a greater audience, particularly Columbus, with a better signal and such. In relationship to the diocese. EWTN started WEWN, which was the sister station. It was a shortwave station to reach all around the globe with all of the different programs that they were doing. Years ago, about 6-7 years ago, the only Catholic entity that was doing radio very well was WEWN. And most Catholic radio stations that started up were just carrying their signal. 2 years ago when WUCO went on the air, they were the 72nd Catholic radio station in the country. Out of 1,500 radio stations that were Christian, okay, there were only 72 that were Catholic. Now we're right up in the 100, 110, 120, I think, range as WFOT goes on. So there's more and more of the Catholic radio stuff coming out. It used to be you only carried EWTN. Now EWTN makes up maybe 24% of the programming, which would be the Mass, the Rosary, the devotions, and some of the shows they have. But a lot of it's coming from Ave Maria. It's up in Michigan. A lot of it comes from Catholic Answers out in California. Some of it comes from Dr. Ray Guarendi over here at Living Bread in Canton. So there's a whole lot more coming in, as well as local programming that's being done. Our affiliation with the diocese is that the diocese thinks it's a great idea. We do have the blessing of the bishop, but he doesn't particularly fund us financially. So the idea is, you know, yes, great idea, but please go out and ask for help. We need to be listener supported. So that's the idea behind it. The idea to get a better signal, we have WUCO now, which reaches pretty well, and we've had a great engineer helping us lately who's tweaked things so that the signal's a lot stronger than it was. WFOT will again kind of strengthen that too on the FM side as it comes out, but there's also a plan right now to purchase another station that will cover a nice swath all the way from Indiana all the way over and just right through the middle of Ohio very strongly and very well. But that's all in God's plan. If it happens, if the finances happen, if the people are willing to do the stuff that we need to do to have that happen. But it's on the board, you know, and literally could happen within months or it could happen in years. So hopefully we pray that it happens faster with people helping, especially financially, to help us do that. Yes.
What about the 1270 Club?
The 1270 Club is, see, UCO is 1270 AM, so originally they kind of looked at what it cost to run the place for a month, and they divided everything out and said, you know what, if we could get people to pledge $12.70 a month, that would like work really well toward what we need to get keep the place moving and keep the place rolling. So the 1270 Club was started like that. I'm a member of the 1270 Club myself. And basically, if you sign up for it, we will send you a little reminder notice that says, you know, please don't forget to pay this. Put us between your gas and electric bill, like Mother Angelica used to say. There's also something now called the Founders Club that's going to be coming out pretty soon, too. And that will be a little bit more toward the capital funding campaign as opposed to the ongoing stuff. But, yeah, if any of you can be part of the 1270 Club. And, you know, 1270 is really nice because it's UCO AM, right? But I'm FM. I'm 89.5. So if you have $89.50 a month, you come and talk to me, okay? We'll get let UCO take care of themselves over there. Any further questions, sir? Yes.
You answer prayer for yourself.
Thank you.
The
question is, how would you all be able to pray for me? I'll tell you what. Wow, what a blessing just to have that question. Thank you. Any mass you go to, remember me, you know, especially at the consecration. Remember that Mike guy, Lord? Yeah, he needs your help, okay? On all levels. And then particularly the rosary. I'm a big fan of the rosary because I'm a Marian kind of kid myself with the Medjugorje background and all that. Anytime you pray the rosary, just save one bead for me and for WFOT. Also, Lives of the Saints, there's a great prayer too that St. Gertrude the Great came up with. Please pray that. It's every time you pray it, it's a very short prayer. 1,000 souls are released from purgatory is what the tradition says. So all those things, pray for me on those levels. And the other thing is pray that God keeps me where he wants me to be on a personal level as a husband and a father, that I take care of my kids and my wife the way I need to and not get too involved with work all the time. Also, my personal walk would be terrible if I could bring all of these teens and all these young adults and all these other people working with radio and everything, and I bring them all to God, but somehow fall myself. As you do work in God's field and as you're one of his, you know, serious workers and you're in the army and you're fighting the fight, you get attacked and I get attacked. I meant to start the whole thing with this confession and tell you I am not any better than anybody in this room. I am a horrible, horrible sinner. And mostly my affiliation with St. Pat's is that they have great reconciliation here daily. You know, I'm so blessed and so grateful for this parish because I come here a lot. Usually when you see me coming into this church, it's because I'm on my way to confession. And I want to thank the priests here for that as well. So pray for me that God won't let me fall to the temptations that are out there because they're strong, you know, especially if you're working for him. And then you have the whole problem of scandal if you fall that way too. So any other questions? Very kind.
Thank you again, Mike. We appreciate you coming and sharing that with us. Guys, we'll see you all next month. March 3rd, I think, is the date. First Friday, right here. Same time, same place. See y'all. Thanks.
Listen here and listen good, Mr. Smarty Pants. This podcast is copyrighted to Michael A. Barone and is not to be used in any form without his written permission. To do so would be a violation of all copyright law. So there.